This is not your home. You belong in heaven. This is not our home. We're visitors with a purpose. You are aliens and strangers. Turn to the person next to you and say, you're an alien. Now, some of you are going beyond what I asked you to say. Some of you just said, did you hear him? He said, you look like an alien. I told you that. I've been telling you that for years, you say.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. In the early days of Christianity, people perceived Christians as different. Not because of the way they looked, but because of the way they behaved. They were called strangers. Yes, even aliens, because they seemed a bit unworldly. Here's a question we should ask ourselves. When people look at us, can they tell we're different, or do we just blend in with the worldly crowd? Here's Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, Why Me?
Sometimes people say, well, you know, we don't need all of that Jesus stuff. You know, we live ethical lives, and that's great. We live principled lives. That's great. But principles and ethics alone will not bring your spirit alive in Christ. It will not give you eternal life. You see, it's sort of like this. What if you had vitamins and you had oatmeal and you had all these wonderful things, but you had it here on a table and you're going to feed it to somebody, but the person is dead. If the person is totally full on make and you're trying to give them multiple vitamins and then you give that person organic oatmeal, it won't do him any good, because if he's dead, before you give him some health or give him strength as far as with vitamins, you got to bring him back to what? Yeah, now here's the thing. The Bible says that when, because of our sins, we were not just sick, we were what? We were dead. Let's read the scripture together and see what it says. It says, when we were what? Dead in our transgressions, he made us alive together with Christ. So when there is a cadaver dead, you can't stuff health food down their throat. The first is you've got to bring them alive. And only Jesus can give you that breath of life. And that's what it means to be born again. Now, we have been born again. But yet, because we've come out of some pretty checkered backgrounds, many of us, or if not all of us, have baggage that we have still with us. Old patterns of thinking, that's still on us. Old ways of reacting, habits. Now, even though we've been given life, we still have those habit patterns that need to fall away. And as we say no to that habit pattern, no to that way of thinking that brought an attitudinal depression in our life, no to that thing that got me into relational problems, all those patterns, all those habits are just waiting for us to say no. They don't have the control on us that they had that brought us to the death. Now that we're alive, they're still a part of us like barnacles or like parasites. But when we say no, God gives us the authority to say no, and they fall away so that there is a changing from glory to glory. So as we live, there's less and less of you or the old life and more of him in the new life. Now, for some of us, it takes a lifetime. Some of us, we don't want to put away the old ways because we thought it was fun and it kind of babysat our flesh. So you can still be saved. You can still have new life. You can even go to heaven and have a lifestyle just like the old ways, just like the old man. Now that brings confusion to a lot of people in the world, and they say, look at his lifestyle. Look at her lifestyle. It's terrible. And you say that they're going to heaven? Yeah, it's tough because, you see, entrance into heaven is not based on what you do, but based on what he has done. And so when he gives us the breath of life, we still have old habits. Are you saved? Yeah. Will you go to heaven? Yeah. But you've got to have a lot of stuff still done to your life so that the old falls away. Will you get to heaven? You bet. But you won't show anybody else the way. Will you go to heaven? Probably will, but no one else will find it. And in fact, the only way they'll get to heaven is not because of you. It'll be in spite of you. So what do we want to do? Not only enter into heaven, but we want to influence the earth. And that's what we want to talk about. Not only get us to heaven, but influence earth. That's why he sent us here. Because if salvation were just a fire escape from hell, and the only reason God saved you was to get you into heaven, then as soon as you would have gotten saved, he would have killed you. Because now you're going to heaven. No use you staying around here on this earth taking up somebody else's room and food. But he left us here. Why? So that we'll influence earth. Now, our role, to start getting rid of the old habits, the old ways of thinking, the old you, so that if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. We've got to get rid of that stuff, laying aside all of those things that was of our old, slander, strife, all of these enmities and attitudes, and he changes us from glory to glory. Now, we've improved a lot, but how many of you would say, even though I've improved a lot, I got a long way to go? Raise your hand. Yeah, all of us. And that's why we're here. Now, Peter knows about that dichotomy where you believe one thing, but you're still learning in the other. You're arrived as far as faith, still arriving when it comes to behavior and influence. Peter knows that. Even though he was full on for God, it wasn't a few sentences later when he said, "Lord, I got your back." A few sentences later, the Lord has to turn around and say, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Peter, after affirming his dedication and commitment to Christ, denies him three times and swears and says, "No, I don't know this man." He then backslides, goes back to his old ways. Jesus meets him at the Sea of Galilee's shores, reinstates him. And so now he writes a letter called 1 Peter, because if there's anybody that knows how to do that, it's Peter. Peter says something about who we are and our identity in the world today. Let's read at the top of our notes together. Would you read it out loud? Go. "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You are aliens and strangers here, so keep away from evil desires because they fight against your very souls. Be careful how you live among your unbelieving neighbors. Even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable behavior and they will believe and give honor to God when he comes to judge the world." Would you underline, you are a chosen race? For some reason, you can ask, why me? But for some reason, God chose you. It wasn't because of your color. It wasn't because of your geographical birthplace. It wasn't because of your lineage, your parentage, or your pedigree. You were chosen. There's something about chosenness because of his love for you. He chose you. Sometimes people say, "Yeah, but what about my parents? They said I wasn't planned. I was a mistake." Doesn't matter. Don't get so enamored with the delivery system that you miss your eternal identity. You see, because if God didn't want you, you wouldn't exist. You wouldn't be here. The fact that you're alive with breath in your lungs tells you that God chose to bring molecules together with your identity and your barcode on it and made you, and he chose you from the beginning of the world. Man makes mistakes, but you still exist. Do we blame the delivery system? We say the fact that I'm alive and I've been chosen not by parents, chosen not by pedigree, chosen not by lineage, I've been chosen by God. Sometimes we get so enamored with these earth suits, but they're going to be gone pretty soon. Don't get so enamored with your earth suit that you forget about your eternal purpose. And God chose you. He chose you from the beginning of time. And you're a chosen people. In fact, would you write down in your notes, you have been chosen for a specific purpose. And what is that? What is that? Let's read it together. 1 Peter 2:10. Go. So that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. And let's read the next one out of John 15:16. Go. You didn't choose me. I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce fruit. Yeah, we are designed to produce something. In other words, we have a purpose. God chose you. You exist. If he didn't want you, you wouldn't exist. It's very obvious. I think one of the people that always reminds me of how important and special we are is a man named Dr. Seuss. Dr. Seuss is a great poet of children's books, and he writes one of my favorite Happy Birthday to Me. It's a great poem, and it goes like this. If you'd never been born, what would you be? You could have been a rock or a toad or a tree. Or worse than all of that, you could have been a wasn't. Now, a wasn't has no fun at all. No, he doesn't. A wasn't just isn't. He isn't present, but you are here. Now, isn't that pleasant? Today, you are you, and it's truer than true that there's no one alive that is youer than you. Shout out loud, I'm glad of who I am. Thank God I'm not a rock, a clam, or a ham, or a dusty old jar of gooseberry jam. I am what I am, and it's a great thing to be, if I should say so myself, happy birthday to me. But you see, God says, I've had you born, but you're not a part of this world. Sorry. When I bring you alive, when you are dead in your transgressions and sins, you're a part of this world. But I chose you. How? By giving you life. I chose you. I chose you to be a Christian. I didn't have to give you life, but I did. I didn't have to breathe into you new life, but I did. I didn't have to do that, but now you are born again. I chose you. But you are here for a specific purpose. I'm going to leave you here. And you know what that is? Would you write down in your next one? We are aliens and strangers now. Yeah, you were brought back to life. But we're visitors with a purpose. If someone were brought back to life right here, you'd think, whoa, this is a different person, right? Well, you have all been brought back to life. And you need to see that you are different people. This world is not your home. Yeah, but I own a piece of property down in Ina. You don't own nothing. No, yeah, but I got a deed. It's fee simple. No. All that paper is, it gives you stewardship over that piece of property for a season. Folks, listen, that property, that piece of property, that dirt was there before you were born. And when you die, it's going to still be there. It ain't yours. You bought a deed that gives you stewardship over that for a season, whether it be a few years or many years. You'd never own it. It was there long before you even were thought about. And it'll be there long after you're gone, folks. We don't own it. We just pay a bunch of money to steward it. You can make money off of it. You can lose money on it. But it's basically you can steward that land for a few years. That's it. You don't own it. This is not your home. Some people say, I don't own a land, piece of land. I don't own a house. I don't feel like I really belong. No, because you don't. You belong in heaven. This is not our home. We're visitors with a purpose. You are aliens and strangers. Turn to the person next to you and say, you're an alien. Yeah. Now, some of you are going beyond what I asked you to say. Some of you just said, did you hear him? He said, you look like an alien. I told you that. I've been telling you that for years, you say. No. We are aliens and strangers because this isn't our home. And so we have to understand that. And God chose us before the creation of the world. He chose us through Christ to be holy and perfect in his presence. Because of his love, he had already decided to adopt us through Jesus Christ. He what? Freely chose to do this. You have to understand that we're aliens, that we're visitors with a purpose. We have a message. And if we think that this is our home, you'll blend in and nobody will find their way home. If you think this is your home and we blend in, no one will find their way home. When they need to be brought to life, they won't know how to call upon the name of the Lord because we ain't. But when they see that there's a difference, they know that if you've come alive, they can too. They just don't want to exist. They want to live, and they've got to cry out and call upon the name of the Lord. And so they need you to show them the way. They need you to show them how to find their way to Christ. So we're aliens and strangers with a purpose, with a purpose. So you say, well, what's one of the characteristics of these aliens? The first is this. Would you write in your notes, the first is this. If you're an alien, the first characteristic is if you're an alien, you think differently. Listen carefully. Satan is a headhunter. Your mind is the battlefield. Your imagination is his trophy. Satan is a headhunter. Your mind is his battlefield. Your imagination is his trophy. If he can get you to imagine poor things, bad things, then you'll act poor and bad. If he can get you to imagine you're involved in this lusty thing, he can get your behavior to go that way. Because that is always a preface, a prelude to behavior is your imagination. You can imagine, you can see yourself doing these things. And you've got to then control, rewind the tape and say, no, I will not let my mind become a tool against me. You can see that if you don't maintain control over your mind to use it for Christ as a person who's an ambassador of heaven, it'll work against you. The Bible says that. Watch out for those evil desires. It'll fight against your very soul. So you've got to turn that around. Would you like to be around a person that's always demeaning you and beleaguering you, depressing you, discouraging you, always criticizing you, is suspect of everything that you do? Everything that that person does exudes that. Would you like to be around that person? Not at all. But you know you are if that's your mind. Your mind sometimes says, well, won't you do this? Well, that's not God. Yeah, but it's all right. It's all right. What about this? Why didn't you do that? Hey, that person doesn't like you. Just go ahead. Let them know what you think. Yeah, you so-and-so. And we just say it under our breath. And we give in to this. And what happens is our mind is beleaguering us. It's discouraging us. It's causing us to do wrong things. And we just host that. We give audience to that. We need to say, no, no, you will not control me. My new man will control you. And I'll tell you how to think, and you'll think in the ways of God. And so I'm going to train you, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to command you to start encouraging me towards Christ, encouraging me towards His best, encouraging me to be a man of God, because I'm an ambassador of heaven. And so that's why the Bible says, see to it, this is important, that you renew the spirit of your mind. Because when you came alive and were born again, the spirit of your mind is still the old way. You need to renew the spirit of your mind. God has given you His Holy Spirit, but that human spirit still has to be regenerated. How many of you know that our human spirit still has to be regenerated? Yeah. And the Bible talks about that, the regeneration of your soul, your spirit. And the Holy Spirit will help you to do that, but you've got to work with Him, scraping away some of the old tendencies that we have. But the first thing is we must think differently. Let's read Romans 8, 6. Go. If your sinful nature controls your mind, there is death. But if the Holy Spirit controls your mind, there is... Here's the question. Who's going to control your thinking? The old patterns? The old person? The sinful nature? Or the Holy Spirit? That's going to be extremely important. Because if you will think right... I tell you what will happen is, if you're thinking right, here's what's going to happen. Secondly, that leads us to live or behave in such a way that people see God. That's what we want. Remember, He chose us to proclaim the excellencies of Him who called us out of light, out of darkness and into light. So that's what our life must do now. We are visitors here with a purpose. Don't forget who you are. So if you think differently, you will behave differently, and people will see God more clearly. Let's read the scripture. Go. Be careful how you live among your unbelieving neighbors. Even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable behavior, and they will believe and give honor to God. Yeah. God's going to open up doors for you to be someone who thinks differently from most people. When everyone would turn one way, you turn to them. When someone says, that's terrible, you say, but we can help. You see, what we're doing is we're saying, this is how God would respond. And then when people see you, they see God in you. You begin to represent what heaven would do in that situation rather than what hell would do. You represent what Jesus would think rather than what humans that are fearful and doubtful would think. And then people see God. That's why the next scripture says, and let's read it, go. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. His name was Doug Nichols. Doug Nichols back in the 60s was a missionary to India, but not just to India, to those that were hurting in India, those who had tuberculosis. He was a part of an outreach called Action International Ministries. And he proclaimed the excellencies of God in this way. Let me tell you the story. He loved the people so much, but being among them a lot caused him to contract the disease himself and got tuberculosis. He got weaker and weaker and weaker, and he didn't know the language of the people. What he would do is he would take these gospel tracts of the Gospel of John written in Farsi and Hindi, and he would pass them out to people whose language he did not know nor understand. But he noticed that nobody would ever take the gospel tracts. When he contracted tuberculosis, he was put in the same sanitarium that the other TB patients were in. He got weaker and weaker, and still he would try to pass out tracts, but no one would take it. No one would take any, feeling that he's just another weird American. But he got weaker and weaker. One night, around 2 o'clock in the morning, he got up wheezing and coughing, and he noticed the bed next to him. There was a very skinny, emaciated old man that was whimpering quietly, trying to get out of his bed. But he didn't even have strength to get out of his own bed. And so he began to cry, and he'd push himself slowly back in bed. The next morning, the stench was great. And people would complain and yell at this old man because he couldn't contain himself in the night. The nurse would even come and slap him a couple of times because he was so messy. And she'd have to clean up his mess. This happened the next night, and he heard a whimper again around 2 or 3 in the morning. The third night, he got himself up coughing. Doug said, I was coughing so bad, and I got up, and this man was whimpering again, trying to get out of bed. And he couldn't. Doug said, I got out of bed and with great effort and walked over to that man. He cowered out of fear. But he said, I picked him up with all the strength I had left in me. I carried him to the bathroom, which was really nothing more than a hole in the ground. And after the man was done, he said, I cleaned him up and carried him back to bed. And when I put the covers over him, that slight emaciated Indian man kissed his fingers and touched my cheek. He said the next morning, another patient from the sanitarium came at about 7 in the morning and brought me some freshly brewed tea. And I noticed the rest of the day, he said, one after another, different ones from the sanitarium would come and ask for that track in Farsi or in Hindi, and they'd make motions, can I have that track? And I gave out tracks all day long. You see, sometimes people are just waiting for a glimpse of God. They've seen glimpses of man all over the place, but they respond very well to a glimpse of God. And when we remember that that's our citizenship, then when we see God open a door this week for a glimpse of God, we'll walk through. Amen. Amen.
You've just heard a message entitled, Why Me? By Dr. Wayne Cordero. Thank you for listening. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where everyone knows everyone. Your teachers really do care about you. They want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
No matter where you come from, New Hope Christian College is a place where you can come to find community.
There's a place for you at New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.